you saw that row number 1, 2, 3, it looks like our church has suddenly gone on steroids. It is not the case, okay, if you're a visitor. We are normal. We're not on steroids, but this is the baby box that Graham brought here. Guys, welcome and congratulations with your victory yesterday. They beat the Pumas yesterday. And you are so welcome here. You're not the first group that's here, eh? You're the second or the third generation that Graham's bringing here. Is that true, Graham? Where are you? Fourth generation. So your seats are warm. I know some of you speak Afrikaans. Am I right? Who's Afrikaans? But, Boitje, you have to learn English. Because in 2 years' time, when you spear tackle Richie McCaw and you have to apologize, then you can't speak Afrikaans. Okay, so a bit of English in there. Is that okay? So tonight we're training you a bit. So bear with me. I'm also Afrikaner. Now, some of you know that tonight is a special evening and we'll chat a bit more about that later. I'm going to be just sharing with us about the section of scripture where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And I actually had another sermon planned. And I was just kind of quickly going to mention the washing of feet. And then Tien said, no, he wants me to preach about this on Thursday. Almost when I was running out of the office home. So he was passing me a hospital pass, if I can put it that way. And I studied the scripture and I was so happy that he asked me to share on this. Now, I don't know who you are, where you're at. Some of you I know. And maybe you've come in here with a certain mindset. Maybe you're down. Maybe life's given you a few clapper. Maybe you come in here and you're in a good place, and I praise God for that. But I know that if you open your heart, you are going to receive something tonight. What is your expectation? If your expectation is that I want something tonight from God, something to take home with me, I promise you, you'll get it. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you, Lord, we give our hearts to you. We give our minds to you. Father, I pray that every person that's sitting here under the sound of my voice will tonight be blessed by you yourself. Come do a mighty work, Lord. Lord, let every word that comes from my mouth, Lord, that is not from you, fall straight to the floor. But may every word that is from you enter every heart in this place. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to put your seatbelts on. We are going on a ride. It's going to be amazing. Let's read through this section together. And it's 18 verses, so it's a lengthy section. I'm going to read out loud for us. We'll read it together. And then what I want you to do, as I read through it slowly, is see this movie play off before your eyes. Okay, see the scenario. They're there, the disciples and Jesus. It's their last meal together. There's some food, maybe a few candles for light. No electricity that back then. No one could blame Eskom. They were there, they had a few candles, there was food. And this is how it plays out. Imagination, you must switch on now. John 13, if you want to follow in your own Bible. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He was speaking about the disciples there, which Jesus of course loved. And during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given to you an example that you also should do just as I have done. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I'm not speaking to all of you. I know whom I have chosen." Strange words, eh? But scripture will be fulfilled. "He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me." Now, at first glance, it might not seem that this little movie that plays off in that upper room is very significant. Of course it's significant. I mean, Christ comes, he humbles himself, but it looks one-dimensional. But as I studied this piece of scripture, I realized what Jesus is actually doing here is he is putting an atom bomb together. Okay? He pours a bit of water in there. He pours a bit of himself in there. We heard even Satan came around, entered one man's heart. He pours that in there. And everything mixed together kind of explodes when you study the scripture. And I'm going to take you through this massive explosion of theology. It is, you can write 5 books on that. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take 3 angles on this movie that you've just heard about. Number one, I'm going to speak about the water. What is the thing about the water? What is the thing about the washing? We're going to cover that. Number two, we're going to speak about the people, Judas and Peter. And number three, we're going to chat about Jesus. I'm going to try and do it fast. But I want you to take in as much as you can, because I know that this will bless you. Now, I'm just going to head into the first dimension, the water. What's up with the water? What's up with the stinky feet? What's the story? So Jesus comes to Peter ready to wash him. And he says to him, Peter says, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share in me." Interesting. Peter takes back his words. Jesus comes and he tells Peter something very significant. All the disciples are there. They're all listening. The implication is such. As human beings, God blesses us tremendously. You know, he gave us authority over the whole earth. Trees, plants, animals. And he says rain. He gives us skills. We do amazing things on earth. We play amazing sport. We design things. We build massive buildings. We are blessed by God. Would you agree with me? There is one thing you and I can never do. You cannot take sin away from yourself. You can't do it. It's the one thing no human being can do for you, and you cannot do it for yourself. That's why Jesus tells him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part in me." There's no way to be connected to God through our own efforts. Doesn't matter what we do, we can stand on our heads. But if Christ comes and does a mighty work in us, we have part in him. Jesus is taking the washing of the feet experience as a symbol, and he's saying, it is like when you get born again. Does it make sense? It is like when I came the first day when you said, "Jesus, save me," and I washed you. The washing of the feet, Peter, it's like that. If you call on my name, I wash you. Your heart, right? It's a symbol of the water. I wash you. and you have a part in me. Peter gets it. The light goes on and he says, Lord, not my feet only. Wash my hands and wash my head. He realizes his mistake. It's something only Jesus can do. Lessons from the water. Number one, the washing is like when we get saved. Tonight there's going to be some washing of feet. Some of the thoughts that may cross your mind is, just like my feet is being washed right now, Christ washed me. Man, am I grateful. As you are washing someone's feet, it will actually bless you because you'll think, wow, what I'm doing here is significant. Christ washed me similarly. It's a sign of the water. I'm still at the first dimension, okay? I'm talking about the water. I'm going over the same scripture, okay? Remember, Jesus said, Peter said, never will you wash me, right? Jesus says, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Now Peter goes to the other side. He says, wash my head, wash my hands. I want to have a part of you. Look at what Jesus tells him. He tells him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet. What a random statement. We know it. I mean, think about it. Who showers, puts on the kettle, and goes and showers again? Okay? Now, it sounds like a random example. It sounds like Jesus is teasing him, but he's not. And you are clean, but not all of you. Jesus is now taking the same symbol of the washing of the feet, exactly the same symbol, the bucket, the water, and he's applying it to another spiritual truth. Listen to what he's saying. He's saying, if you are saved, if you are born again, if you are washed, like he was referring to just now, and you sin again, you go home and you backslide. Let's say maybe with Graham on the rugby camp, you encounter God. You guys have a cell group, right? With Graham. And you feel God touching your heart. You go back home, now you backslide. You feel far from God. It's like you were washed on that camp. When you gave your heart to God, you are washed. You go back home. It's like you walk outside and your feet gets dirty. There's mud on your feet. There's dust. What happens in your heart? God feels far from you. It feels like God doesn't hear your prayers. Can some of the believers say, that sounds like me? Maybe you get too caught up in your work and you feel, I don't get to God anymore. I feel so far. Christ is saying, if you repent, I wash your feet. But don't worry, Wade. It's not like you get born again from the start. You are clean already. I'm just going to wash your feet. I'm just going to wash the sins that accumulated onto you. And maybe it's like those days, when they're walking out from the house to their tent that was maybe a kilometer away, before they slept, they would just wash their feet again. But their bodies are clean. And isn't it amazing that Christ says the believer can say, Lord, forgive me at any time, and Christ will wash their feet. Amazing. The gifts of God works in such a way, your calling and the gifts in you, if you gather dust on your feet, okay, I hope you're following my picture. You're saved, right? Now you gather dust. There's sin and you make mistakes. God does not take away his calling every time you make a sin. He doesn't take away your gifts. He says, you are already clean. Your feet is dirty. Don't worry. Let's wash it. Amazing, eh? Two different meanings. Christ takes about the same symbol. And tonight, maybe that's another thought that goes through our head. When there's a washing of feet. Man, I make mistakes, but God, he stays good to me. And he washes me and he forgives me every time I serve a wonderful God. Amen? The first dimension, the water. Are you still with me? Afrikaners? Verstaan jy dit al? Okay. I'm just double checking. Number two. So there's two lessons from the water. The one is, when Jesus washes us, when we get born again, it's like the washing of the feet. But the same is true when he washes us continually and forgives us on a daily basis. Second dimension. Let's put that box of the water there. Now, let's talk about the people, because Jesus sees his whole evening and everything is just spitting out theology and like revelation to us. That's the water. Now, Peter, let's just read these words again. He came to Simon Peter, verse 6, and Simon tells him, or Peter, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered him, of course, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. At that time, the first time when Peter says, Jesus, are you going to wash my feet? Who would agree with me? It's a humble man. Who would say that's a humble man? He realizes this is God. He says, God, are you going to wash my feet? Shouldn't it be the other way around? He realized it and he asked Christ. Jesus, I think, is happy with his response. But Jesus answers him, Peter, you don't understand. But relax, you will. Peter comes back a second time. He says, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus says, if I do not wash you, you have no part in me. Now, the problem with Peter's second response after Jesus answered him is that actually what he was saying is, Jesus, I know better than you. You say right now, I don't understand, but I know better. You will never wash my feet. And that was not a good position Peter took. The lesson in that for us, if we go to the first point there, is if we were to move forward as a Christian, you can go on. Another one. If we can get to a place where we can obey God, even when we don't fully understand, we're on the right track. On that second response, Peter missed it out. The first lesson from Peter is obey God and trust Him even when you are not fully enlightened. If I am only going to respond to God the times when I understand, I will move extremely slow. Because my thoughts are not His thoughts. His thoughts are so much higher. Can I tell you a story? When I got saved in my first year, Stellenbosch, I went to this church, but just in Stellenbosch. And people told me, there's this course the church gives, Foundation 1, 2, 3, 4, and there is a Bible school. I didn't even know what they're talking about. I didn't understand what it is, but they said, this is going to help me. You know what I did? The first week I did Foundation 1, the second week Foundation 2, the third week Foundation 3, the fourth week Foundation 4. I did Bible school my first year, and I was on the church committee. I didn't understand half of the things that were said, man. But I'm here today because I decided, if someone that's been following the Lord for a while gives me godly advice, I'm going to do it. If God calls me to go on a mission and I don't understand why and I need 10 reasons, no. Go. Trust God. I'm not saying be a fool. I'm saying if God gives you instructions from His Word, and maybe there's a confirmation, but you don't understand, go for it. Don't move when you feel maybe something, there was a dream, you're not sure, now you change your whole life. No, no, no. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if God's instruction to you is clear through His Word, through His Holy Spirit, and in the midst of your friends, there is agreement. Move, even if you don't understand. Does that make sense? Let me put it in another way. You know what will be very valuable to each and every one of us? If we understand that at the moment, we are operating under darkness. We cannot see what God and the Holy Spirit see. Our eyes, there's a veil. The Bible says, for now we see dimly. We see like this. If you know that, it would value you enough, a lot, because that will mean you will trust on God to guide you more than yourself. Peter, in that moment, trusted only on what he saw and what he thought is right. And Christ rebuked him. Christ said, no. Are you with me? Thank you. That's what I want to hear, Nietlang. Now, listen to him at verse number 9. And we're going to learn a good lesson from him. Lord, not on my feet only, but my hands and my head. What is that? One second ago, this man was an arrogant brat. A second later, he repents. He says, God, excuse me for answering so hastily. I don't know what I'm talking about. Forgive me and wash me all over. Lesson number two from Peter. Quick one, easy. Wise, spirit-filled Christians is ready to repent. Isn't that amazing? They know that man can see nothing compared to God. Thank you, Peter, for making mistakes so that I can learn. Two powerful messages from Peter. I'm going on, I'm moving. Still in the second dimension. Let's go to his buddy, Judas. Listen to this verse. This is at the end. Verse 27, this is after the washing, after the meal. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered him. And Jesus said to him, what you are going to do, do it quickly. Can you believe it? Think. There's this room. Jesus is sitting right here. He washes the disciples' feet. God. He washes Judas' feet as well. He's right there in that room. He sees everything that happens. In that same room, Satan comes in and he enters Judas while Jesus is there. Can you believe it? That must mean for us here that Satan can enter this place here tonight to get into your head and get you out of here. Because if he did it when Jesus was there, he can do it when we are here. Do you agree with me? The Judas principle. The devil can deceive humans even in the presence of God. The question we must rather ask is, how do we stay clear of deception? Back one slide. Lessons from Peter. Obey God and trust Him when you are not fully enlightened. Trust God. When you start with your own schemes, with what you heard, what you feel, saw from a fairy, your friend told you because he smoke something and then he connects. No. No. Stay away. Amen. Amen. Obey God and the Bible even if you don't understand. It's interesting. When people don't understand, they say there's no God. Because they don't understand, they say there's no God. Number two. Be quick to repent. Two things. You with me? If we are quick to repent, and if we can trust God, we will not be deceived when the enemy comes into this room to take us out. And I'm saying it straight, as it is. That was the second dimension, Peter and Judas. A lot of things happening in that room, eh? You didn't see that coming. Third dimension. Check this out. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things, and that he had come from God and he was going back to God, he rose from supper, he laid aside his outer garments, taking a towel, tied it around his waist, and he prepared to wash their feet. Jesus knew that the Father had given him everything. There was not one thing, not one man, not one demon or angel above Christ. He was above everything. He was the man that ran the business. And looking into the future, he saw himself being with God on his right hand. He's got clear vision. He knows where he's going. Having that knowledge, what did he do? Took off his clothes, his outer clothes, that made it hard for him to bend down, and he started to wash feet. Knowing he had all things, he still chose to serve. Knowing where he was going into heaven for eternity, he chose to serve here. The implication and the application for us is quite simple. A healthy, godly understanding of eternity in this room. If you are saved, if you know Jesus and you understand something about eternity, what will that do in your life? It will cause you to serve. because you will know this life is nothing. Bam, over. If you can't look forward and see eternity with God, you will have to take the spoils out of this life the best you can and run with it. Because your vision is short. A healthy vision of eternity and power in God leads to serving. That's the first lesson we learn from Jesus. Powerful, eh? Number two, almost the same thing. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world. It was his last day. His last breath. You're going down the final sprint. It's your final few days on earth. He knew it. Chose to serve. What would you do with your last bit? Application for us goes something like this. You and I don't know when is our last hour. Agree? We don't know. It can be in a few minutes for me. Some of us will live longer lives. Some of us, we don't know how long our days is. We don't know. But Christ chose to serve in his last hours. I think the application is get into a lifestyle of serving as soon as you can. And maintain it until you die. Straight through to the end. And you will be ready in and out of season. You don't have to know when your last hour is. Jesus showed us. Just start serving. And you'll be fine. You'll stay deception free. I'm trying to think of a Christian in our church that serves in this church behind the scenes with deception. I can't think of one. And I promise you, bring me a name, I'll repent if I'm wrong. It's a safe place to be, to serve God, serve in his house, serve your family. Serving will keep you safe. It's what Christ did. When we move away from serving, we get pride, we get deceived. It's easy as it is. Now, John 13 verse 14, we're almost there. Jesus said, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Next slide. You could have composed this. So why wash each other's feet? Number one. When you wash someone's feet physically, yes, it's a symbol. Humility will be imparted into your heart if you open your heart for it. It can mean nothing to you, because remember, Judas' feet was washed as well. You can have the signs or the symbols without the thing it represents. You can be baptized and you can still be unsaved. It's just the truth. Possessing the signs or the symbols does not mean you possess the thing it represents. Okay? But it could for you if you open your heart. Being washed will also impart humility into your heart. Think about it. I mean, you're sitting on a chair and your friend, someone you look up to, wash your feet. What does it do to your heart if you're sitting on this chair? It humbles you. I don't know who gets humbled more. That kind of love, that feeling you just had when I was explaining that is what Christ wants to be amongst us more than anything else. It will remind you how Jesus washed your sins away, remind you how Jesus watched us each day. It will bring church unity and love. Washing and being washed speak of a deeper friendship. We're not here just to, yeah. We're here to serve one another. It speaks of a deeper friendship. And you know what? Deeper friendship is needed to make church happen. A lekker pally, it's lekker for a touchy game. But it cannot do something in the kingdom of God. Because when the going gets tough, a lekker pally goes out the back door. Sorry, I'm busy Sunday night. I don't come to church. I've got a bride. Can't come pray for you. But a feet washing friendship will stick with you to the end. That's why we are here. If you're here visiting us, we are sitting here. Our church grew in 6 years from nothing to what it is today because there's people serving in this place. I will say a name, Gideon, Elizabeth. You guys were here from the start scaring. They have got full-time jobs. They carried speakers every Sunday. That is why we are here today. You can see Elizabeth still got some guns. Any case. You know, if we've got that kind of love amongst us, you know what will happen? On this bus, there will be no passengers. I'm telling you, the one guy said, he says, it's good sometimes if you move your church building. It's good sometimes to move to the other side of town so that all the hanger-ons just falls off. It sounds tough, but in a way, too, you know what? When I want to speak straight, when I or you or someone are a passenger, what you do is you slow the momentum of the church down because you set the standard. Your standard is, yeah, we sit here. Okay? If you do something, even if it's in cell, I'm not saying you must be a preacher because then I'll get fired because then there's nothing for me to do. Okay? But if you can serve your friends in cell, if you can serve your friends by offering prayer, if you can start serving somewhere, you are not a passenger. You are taking part in this church growth will speed up. And you know what? It's Christ's heart that this church grow. It's Christ's heart that Hillsongs grow. It's His heart that every church grow. This is His bride. Washing of the feet, that kind of mentality. Hanger-ons won't hang on for long because they don't like serving. Okay? Thank you for that. That was a confirmation. That was the first one leaving. Any guys? Did you hear the motorbike? Any guys? Any guys, last point. If the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of all the world bent down low to wash feet, it literally means, without being spiritual, in church, in God's house, what needs to be done for me, for you, whether I preach or not, there is not one thing that you are too good to do in church. If Christ went down to wash feet, He says, that is my example. I am not good enough for carrying speakers. I must get it. I'm not good enough to pray or chat with any of you afterwards. Angus Buchan is a minister that does it well. He'll go afterwards and he'll chat to the car guard. He just spoke to 100,000 people. He'll chat to one man because he understands the washing of feet. If we get this, a love will be shown in this world that has not been seen before. Amen. Can I ask the band to come up and everyone to stand, please? I want you to do where you stand. Just not to lose focus and to... I want you to look out of the eyes of your heart to Christ tonight. And if you want to, in your heart, I want you to pray this prayer. Lord, search my heart. Just where you're standing. Search my heart, Lord. You know me, Lord, from the inside out. Search me. Who are you tonight? Are you a bit like Peter? No, Lord. I don't want anyone to pray for me. I don't want to waste a prayer. We must rather pray for other people. Maybe it's time for you to say, Lord, I'm not going to try and be smart around you. Wash me. You wash me. Not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Maybe it's time for you to jump in. Maybe you've been a passenger. I'm talking to a member here. this place. Maybe you've been a passenger on this bus too long. I'm challenging you by the love of Jesus. Don't be a passenger. You are losing out. Your calling might slip through your fingers. Maybe it starts with serving. Maybe it stays serving. Maybe you're here and you have never ever been washed by Jesus once. Jesus says, you are clean, but not all of you. Not all of you are automatically clean. You need to be washed. Maybe that's you tonight. And tonight is going to be an amazing night because the Lord told me more than once when I was preparing this sermon that He is going to impart special things into people's lives tonight. I'm going to invite a few people for prayer. And I'm telling you, I'm challenging you, I'm asking you, I'm begging you, if tonight, maybe through the altar call, Christ is saying, come, have your feet washed, don't say no. If He speaks to you, you need to witness that. You need to witness that. You need to say, oh, okay, this feeling in my heart, this must be God just drawing me. And I want you to obey and receive your blessing. There's some things that only Jesus can do and no one else. Not a bigger salary, not a better car, not being selected for the Springbok World Cup squad, if I have to use that. Nothing. Not to get a better girl, not to get married. We need certain things, and we will stay empty if Christ does not come and do a work. I want to ask you very boldly tonight, with all the love in my heart, if you've not been washed, if your sins are still a part of you, you've not been washed by Jesus, while every believer is praying. If that is you, be bold. Put your hand up and say, that's me. I want to be washed tonight. Thank you for that hand. I want to be washed tonight. Tonight is my night. Tonight I'm not walking out of this place wondering. Tonight I'm not walking out here maybe. Tonight is the night of definites. If that is you, put your hand up high. You will receive something here tonight and you will forever be thankful. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Thank you for your guys. Can I get some facilitators in the front? I'm just going to give it another second. Because some people, it feels like there's a war in your heart. Because you know what? There is a war in your heart. It's the truth. Remember, while the believers are praying, remember what happened in that room. Jesus ministers to them. In that room, Satan comes in. He makes a case for the heart of Judas. The enemy will not let one person come to God without a fight. So I'm giving you another chance. If you feel, but it feels really like your heart is heavy. That is the war that's going on for your heart. I'm telling you tonight, by your own decision, you can be free. That is you. Put your hand up high. You've had a lot of hands. Thank you for this hand. Thank you for that hand again. Thank you. Be strong. The faith is coming up in this place. People are standing up because they realize they want to be free. I'm going to give a few more seconds. Tonight, Christ is winning the battle in this place. There's another hand. Thank you for that. Lord, tonight we say you are victorious in this place. Tonight we take back hearts that have been under fire for years. But tonight there's going to be joy in this place. Tonight there's going to be a washing. I'll give you one more chance. If you haven't raised your hand and you want to be washed by Christ for the first time, be bold. Thank you for all the hands. We have had a lot of hands. I'm giving you a chance. I'm helping you over the edge. Is there any other? Thank you for that hand. I'm going to ask you to be very bold, but it's going to be easy for you because the battle is won. If you've raised your hand, just come to the front. Someone's going to pray with you and declare your battle. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your hands. Okay, let's give them a clap. They are strong tonight. Okay. they are winning. You can face me, guys. You can face me. Thank you.